Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to be with us, to come and guide us, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that we can greater understand this, your word, Father, and that we can walk in it and receive the knowledge, the wisdom, so that we can help others, Father, reach the point of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. Now I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If we get ready now for communion, got your stuff, give you a minute to get it all ready there. And once again, we'll ask the Lord that if we have committed anything that has been sin or displeasing in His eyes, that He will forgive us so that we can partake of this supper legally, Father. And do so in Jesus' name. All right. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So now in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, take your bread. Now after the same manner, also He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying this, "Cup, is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Take your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Now may the Lord add his blessing to all. In the sweet, precious name of Jesus. All right. Now, if you will join me, we'll be back in to Matthew. Not going to be long, we're going to be through Matthew. We're just about to finish over here. Not tonight, but here in the next few studies. We're in chapter 27 tonight. And it's quite lengthy also. It's another one that's got 66 verses. So I don't know where we'll get, but we'll find out. Now, as we pick up here, we know this morning we went through Peter's denial and Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, his prayers, and also the betrayal of Jesus that we went through this morning. This evening, we're going to be dealing with the chief priest taking Jesus to Pilate, find out about what Judas done, and Jesus before Pilate, and things of that nature. And we need to be remembered. You know, a lot of them, I hear a lot say, oh, you don't need to go over this so often, but this will be twice this year you've been through the book of Matthew. Well, that's true. But we've also been through the complete New Testament and a lot of the Old Testament. But we need to be and walk in constant reminding of each other, of things that are so easily forgotten. Now, we're going to pick up here in chapter 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And the main thing here is seeing who it is that is wanting to put Jesus to death. Verse 2, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And you see, we know that this Pontius Pilate, the governor, was the Roman procurator of Judea from A.D. 26-37, holding his office under the prefect of Syria, his usual place of residence was Caesarea. But he was in Jerusalem during the feast to deal with any insurrection our troubles. He had a lot of power also. Now here are three. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. This money he had received for betraying Jesus, he's brought back to those that paid it. Four, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. You see, they didn't care about him at all, what he thought or nothing else. They just told him, for him to see to that. So they had one thing in mind, and that was destroying by death the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, if they had known what was really happening, and if Satan had known what was happening, probably none of this would ever came about. They wouldn't have had to. But they had no idea what they were doing. Verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He had gone and hung himself. Six, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. Seven, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Now, there is a word that is carried forward into our day, the name of this field, Potter's Field. We have that even going today. A lot of cities and states and counties have what they call potter's fields to bury the poor in that cannot afford to be buried. Wherefore, that field was called the Field of Blood unto this day. You know, when he saw that he was condemned, which would be evident from seeing Jesus being taken to Pilate, a move Judas may not have anticipated, he repented himself. And this word is different from the term for repentance to salvation. His admission, I have sinned, is not necessarily a true confession of faith. Judas then threw the money in the temple sanctuary and hanged himself, and his falling headlong is generally supposed to have happened while he was attempting to do this, and perhaps hanging himself over the edge, he then fell into the valley below. Well, but you know, regardless of his repentance, we know that Judas did not make heaven his home. Jesus even told him, really, before he done it, there at the Last Supper, that the one that would betray him would have been better if he had never been born. Now, 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. He didn't say. He said, thou sayest. 12. And when he was accursed of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? 14. And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. He's even got the governor shook up because he will not answer himself in any way. 15. Now, at that feast, the governor was wroth to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they were. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And these are the priests and scribes now that the governor is talking about here, delivering because envy. 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now, Pilate's wife is warning him about taking part in what he does, because she said she'd been tormented that day in dreams. Now, 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. You see, that's all they were wanting anyway, was for him to be killed. They just didn't understand they were getting ready to do and really to accomplish of God's will and his way. 23. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. But he's not all that innocent, because, you see, it takes his authority for Jesus to be crucified. 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, that was his beating, he delivered him to be crucified. 27. Then the soldiers out of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. 28. They stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed and kneeled before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Now they put this crown of thorns on his head. Now they're hitting this crown, which is driving those thorns into his skin and his head. He's been scoured, as they called it, beaten with that cat of nine tails, with those leather strips that contain pieces of metal and pieces of glass to tear the skin. Not just to put stripes there, but to really tear the skin. He's bleeding from two places. He's bleeding from the head and from these stripes. You see, you can ask a lot of people, how much blood was he losing, and how many places was he losing blood? Most can't tell you. But it is actually seven. Seven places. Now, 28, they stripped him, put on him the scarlet robe, and they put that on his head. Then they took their reed and was hitting him on the head with it. 31, and after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. 32, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. 33, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. 34, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. 35, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. The man of Cyrene, Simon by name, was a Roman province. Cyrene was a Roman province in North Africa where many Jews lived. They also had a synagogue in Jerusalem. His son, Alexander, and Rufus later became well-known Christians. Compelled, a technical term, requested to bear his cross. The cross was generally carried by the prisoner, which John indicates was at first the case with Christ. Evidently, the weight was more than he could bear due to his severe scourging or his severe beating. And the transverse piece was usually carried separately and attached by rope to the vertical pole execution. Golgotha, a place of a skull. The name is a transliteration of the aromatic word for skull and is equivalent to the Latin calvera, probably due to the physical appearance of the hill. They gave him vinegar to drink that was mingled with gall. Fulfillment of Psalms 69:21. This was customarily given to condemned prisoners to serve as a kind of anesthetic or anodyne. It was literally a drugged wine. And the statement that he would not drink indicates that Jesus refused any mitigation of his suffering on our behalf. You see, even during all that's going on with him, the beatings and everything, Jesus is still never taken on any sin whatsoever. Think about that. Now, 36. And sitting down, they watched him there. 37. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now the Jews that had him crucified, not liking that at all either. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." 41. Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and elders said, 42, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." 43, "He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, Pilate placed a place card over Jesus' head with the accusation, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And little did he realize how true this intended mockery of Jesus really was. Indeed, as Matthew showed, Jesus was the King of the Jews, whom they had rejected. The thieves were robbers, perhaps towards Barabbas. The statement cast the same in his teeth, meaning they repeated similar taunts to him, these two that was crucified with him. Now, 45. From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, God hadn't really forsaken him, but he had to turn away, because he had all of our sins upon him on that cross, and God could not look upon him. 47. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man called for Elijah." Then he hadn't. But now 48. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. and tested Jesus when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour means from noon until 3 p.m. indicates Jesus had been placed on the cross at the third hour, or 9 a.m. And the darkness is evidently supernatural, since an eclipse of the sun at full noon is impossible. God's wrath was poured upon his son during this time of darkness. And at the ninth hour of 3 p.m., Jesus cried, Eliah, Eliah, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we have the high cost of Christ of his atonement for our sins, who was accursed of God as our sin bearer and suffered the agony of spiritual death for us. He cried with a loud voice as a shout of triumph and yielded up his spirit. In other words, having borne the wrath of God, God's judgment against sin, he knew he had triumphed over Satan and the curse of sin. Now, we're going to pick up here with 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. You see, we're waiting for a resurrection now, but this is not the first resurrection. There was a resurrection here at the time of his death, and we're told all about it. You know, the events immediately following Jesus' death are remarkable indeed, because the veil of the temple refers either to the curtain over the entrance to the holy place, which could be viewed from the porch, or to the curtain separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And that's the curtain there. The latter is probably here and symbolizes the permanent opening of God's presence to man, the man's direct access to God through the atoning death of Christ. And you see, that is why you and I today can go through Jesus and go to the Father and speak with the Father, is because that curtain had been torn in two, making a way for you and I to be able to stand in his presence and talk with him in prayer. You see, they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies before, mankind couldn't. He had to send whatever his needs and all, and his sacrifices had to be taken by the high priest once a year. Now you and I, we can go at any time and stand before him, because of Jesus making the way. Now, we were talking there about here in 54. Now when the centurion, the day that were with him watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. 56, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Jose, and the mother of Zebedee's children. You see, there in 54 and 56, finally admitting that truly this was the Son of God. Whether this was an affirmation of genuine faith based on all they had witnessed, or merely a pagan appreciation of the awesomeness of the circumstances, is not clear. You know what was said? We know that they were amazed, but whether any of them changed or not, we don't know because the Word don't tell us. Certainly, the incident reveals how Jesus' life and character, even in the face of death, rose above the greatest qualities of pagan Rome. And the witnesses also included several key women, Mary Magdalene, Magdala in Galilee. She is the woman out of whom Jesus cast seven devils in that region. Mary, the mother of James and Jose, was the wife of Cleopas. And the other Mary, of verse 61, the mother of Zebedee's children, was Salome, and apparently a sister of the Virgin Mary. Had a lot of Mary, didn't it? All right, we're going to be picking up here the 57. It says, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. 59, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. 60, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. You see, they are still there. 62, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests, the Pharisees, came together unto Pilate. 63, saying, Sir, we remember that thou deceivest, said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will raise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way and make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. We have now come to the end of chapter 27. And I pray that each one of you has gotten something from this that you may have forgotten, or something that you hadn't really paid a lot of attention to as you read it. Pray that everyone got something good from the study tonight. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for them. And we pray, Father, that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, is filled with so much evil. I pray that those that are sitting in our high offices that are evil and brought this evil upon this land be removed, Father, and replaced by those walking in righteousness that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people, and love this land. And will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer this. I pray tonight, Father, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson. Father, I pray for Sue Branson, for Debbie, and Darren. I pray for Courtney and Shane. Pray for my wife, for myself, and for each one of our families, Father, because we all have family members that are not living rightly. And may the Holy Spirit work with them and with us and to help to lead them out of darkness into the light, that light being Jesus, for none be lost, Father, and all can find salvation. Now, Father, as we separate now for the evening and the night, keep us all, Father, in health. Keep us safe. Bring us back together again from morning and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great night. But God, he'll walk with you. Good evening, all.